What's good, everybody, and welcome to Believe in Celtics podcast brought to you by Bet Online. I'm your co-host, Warren Shaw, and back in the saddle with me for this upcoming season is the Boston Globe national NBA writer, giving his thoughts on NBA and everything else. It's my guy, Gary Washburn. Gary, what's good, family? How you doing?
How's it going, man? Good to be here. The season is not started yet, but there's a lot of interesting stories. So, you know, the NBA, they wanted to be on the level of the NFL and, in terms of interest, and boy, are they doing that. Probably not to what they like in the subjects, but people are definitely talking NBA and as we go into October, as opposed to as much as the NFL, and then obviously Aaron Judge chasing history, but the NBA is definitely on our conversations. So yeah, this will be fun.
Well, you know what it is. I think there's a popular saying out there on NBA Twitter: the NBA has gone X amount of days, 0 days, without being, you know, dramatic. And these Boston Celtics have definitely brought a lot of drama to the situation. Especially for those who follow the team closely, like you and I do, you know, not the ideal start, but we'll get into the storylines and some of the narratives that are in some ways plaguing the roster as we begin this NBA season, as you alluded to. I wanted to just, you know, just kind of even tap in with you. I mean, you've been covering this team now. What year is this for you now, brother?
It was 13. Yeah. So 2009, 2010 was my first year.
Lucky 13 here, man. So yeah. I think for our fans and listeners to be able to work with Gary is a great pleasure of mine. He's, you know, obviously nationally known, written books, millions and millions of stories, spends a lot of time with the team and the roster. So really, really great insight here. Now we're going to be bringing to you here on Believe in Celtics, brought to you by Bet Online on the Believe Network. So before we get into the crux of it, you know, we've got to pay some bills and, you know, kind of do all of our plugs. So as always, make sure you're following everything on the Believe Network, especially everything coming out at Believe Network or at Believe Sports. If you like what we're doing here on Believe in Celtics, make sure you're following my guy, Gary, at G Washburn Globe. And you can hit me up at Shaw Sports NBA as well. Now we got to pay our bills to Bet Online. So we're going to show them a little bit of love, and they're going to get into the crux of the show, what I like to call our Geno Time segment on the other side of this break. Not too much actual Geno time to be celebrating on the other side of this break, but we're definitely going to get right into it. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first to market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BELIEVE50, BLEAV50. BetOnline, where the game starts. On this week's edition of Geno Time, Gary and I are going to kind of dive into, obviously, the major news surrounding these Boston Celtics and the suspension of Ime Udoka here and some of the things that have come out with the roster after media day first week. Gary, let's kind of just start there. Right before we record, Woj puts out another story. I guess he's getting some bits and tidbits from the law firm that was hired to investigate the situation with Coach Udoka. Have you had a chance to see that yet? And do you have any initial thoughts on that aspect of it, just in terms of the crude language that Udoka used with a subordinate?
Yeah, I did read it, Warren. And to me, like, this is, you know, bits and pieces are going to come out. Now, the question is, if it's like the law firm and if it's like a confidential report and those are being leaked, then that sounds like someone in an organization might be kind of, you know, disseminating information here and there, little bits and pieces for people to chew on, because everybody still is asking what the hell happened. What exactly did he do besides, you know, the relationship with the coworker? What did he say? Was there multiple women? Like, you know, there's just, it's going overboard with speculation. And the Celtics, for privacy reasons, really haven't fed into that, which is understandable. But there's going to get to a point where people are going to start finding out information. This situation, this report by Adrian Wojnarowski, just kind of says, you know, as we had reported and already known, in many ways, there was some language used toward the woman. Now, the key part was prior to the relationship. So that means it maybe indicates that there were some threats or there's some language perhaps that was used in terms of maybe encouragement, you know, maybe blackmail, whatever you would want to say to the woman to maybe encourage her into this relationship. I don't know if it's that clear cut. Was it a simple case of him threatening her with her job or with her maybe pay or promote, like a lack of promotion or demotion, or holding something over her head unless she participated in this? And if that's the case, and that is what started this, the question is, it leads to more questions, Warren. Well, why didn't she go to you know, his superior? Why would she allow this to happen? Why would you, you know, if someone's threatening you that way and you have a case or maybe you have some documentation, why in the world would you not go to a higher up and say, this is what's happening to me? So there's a lot of questions that, you know, unfortunately, Warren, like, we're still trying to find the answers to. And so for me, this is just another case of like, you know, like we really don't know. And until there's some hard evidence, hard, you know, facts that come out that the team obviously knows, because obviously they made a decision to suspend them.
Right.
To me, it's good. It's a situation where what can we do?
You know, Gary, it's really that part of it too. It's so frustrating, you know, to kind of see this as that. And I'm kind of caught in the middle on it, because in some ways I don't know how much of our business it is, you know, as media and folks like that. But it still, it impacts kind of this national recognized franchise, this organization that has so much on the line, but, you know, you want to be able to protect the integrity, you know, and the privacy of, you know, of the individuals in some cases that are involved in this, you know. And as you were talking, all I could think was kind of more questions, as you alluded to. So it first comes out that it was consensual, but if it was coerced, then is it really consensual? I mean, I just sat through a sexual harassment training in my full-time job. That's kind of the annual training. And you kind of go through all the different steps that are part of that training. So it's like, all right, well, really, what did Udoka do here? Let me ask you this question. And this is because we don't want to be speculative here. We want to be able to report on what we actually know in some ways, and as the bits and pieces coming out. But in the time that you've been covering this organization and what you know about the NBA, right? Coaches, what level of authority do they have in most organizations now in terms of other people on the roster? Are coaches, scouts, to my understanding, usually report to like the general manager or president of operations, that type of situation. Mm-hmm. So coaches have assistant coaches, maybe interns and things of that nature. What is kind of the usual reporting structure within an organization that would report to the coach specifically?
Well, it all depends on the organization. But to me, you would have Brad Stevens is like president of basketball operations. So he's kind of the big boss in terms of basketball operations, how things go, player signings, coaching staff, all that. But obviously, Ime Udoka has say in who he might want as an assistant coach. He mm-hmm. might have a say in personnel. They might blend together as opposed to form a partnership, as opposed to like, no, we're going to do this and the coach doesn't want to do that. Now, has there probably been situations where Brad said, I want this guy. He may have said, I don't want this guy. And maybe they still got the guy, perhaps, or okay, we're going to go after this free agent first. And then we're going to go through this one. And he may say, oh no, I want to go through this guy first. Like, but I think that Brad kind of in a general organization, the president of basketball operations kind of, you know, is the top guy in terms next to the like owner, right? Or the governor. And then your head coach, it all depends on, you know, obviously Greg Popovich has more power than in San Antonio than when they see Jamal Mosley in Orlando, right? Or, you know, a first year coach who's starting his first year. Pop could do kind of say what he wants about what happens with the Spurs draft, all that. So it's an interesting situation where then you have, you know, employees that work for the team. Marketing, ticket sales, basketball operations, people, you know, that work in the family room to make sure that the people have their tickets to the games, the players' families, you know, people who do the halftime shows, right? Like people who the game ops, you know, there's all types of employees around an NBA team, especially on game night. In game night, you just see constantly people in the cafeteria, where the people eat, where the reporters, team staff, coaching staff, stadium employees, team, like all of the above, people who keep the score, people who hand out, distribute the stats, like all of the above are all in a mixture. So a coach doesn't usually, it's not usually in that environment in terms, he's in his office, he's on the floor, he's talking to maybe the opposing coach before the game, things like that. So it is a interesting dynamic of how this could happen, or how, sure, you know, but there is interaction between, let's say, people in the basketball operations, where there's women who work in basketball operations, there's female, there could be a female scout, an assistant coach, an assistant, a secretary, a woman who works in the family room, where Coach Udoka could have had, or a coach generally could have had interaction, or said, hey, what are you doing later, or something like that, where they're, and honestly, Warren, like, the thing about this whole situation is, anyone who's covered professional sports knows that this happens. Players date cheerleaders. Players and coaches date people within the organization. This is nothing new. This is nothing that's, you know, I know the outside public is probably stunned, but basketball and I'm sure NFL, NHL, MLS, WNBA, ML, all of the sport, major sports, all, you know, coworkers date each other. And that's the same for any company. And in professional sports, I've seen players date people who were members of the organization. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's not. That's not a big story. Okay, that's not something that I'm going to report. That is nothing new. This is, you have millionaire athletes, attractive people, things are going to happen, right? So I don't think people, that's the player confusion about this. I don't think the players were astounded or stunned that Udoka had a relationship with someone in the organization. They were astounded at the suspension. And it's like, well, what did he do? Besides, okay, he was dating this woman. What else? Because they've seen it. I've seen it. This is not anything new. And, you know, I don't know if you watched the Yankees-Dodgers documentary the other night, 30 for 30 on ESPN, but they kind of featured Billy Martin, who was, you know, and this is 45 years ago, but, you know, was living at the bars. You know, he was – after the games, he was drinking. He was hanging with the guys. He was on the road. He was, you know, living like, quote unquote, a player would, right? That was the old days. But to think that coaches, especially ones who are single, aren't, you know, dating, seeing someone, having relations in terms of relationships, or it's just not true. It happens.
Right.
So that, this is nothing. That's the whole thing. The dynamic, Warren, when it came to the players and the training camp, like the players were like, okay, so what else did he do? Like, okay, he was dating someone, or, because let's be honest, Warren, the players know what the coach is up to. Like, they see him on the road. They see, like, the players are not, were not stunned about the relationship. Some of them might have been. Oh, I didn't know he was dating. Oh, okay. Oh, you know, but when you see coach on the road, coach in a hotel lobby, coach on the way to his room,
it's hard to hide that stuff.
Yeah, these guys spend, you know, it's like going to college or with someone or going to school. You're closer with someone you go to school with than your own family member, because you're there, you're going to school with them, you're spending weekends with them, you're going to football games with them. Like, you see their lifestyle. So I don't think the players are stunned at the relationship. They're stunned at, like, well, what did he do exactly besides sleep with her or have a relationship with her? So the in the hierarchy, but it's not encouraged. Obviously, no company wants the superior subordinate relationship. No company wants to touch that. They don't want that. Your full-time position, my company does not want people to date. It happens. They don't want that because right. There's so many toxic, unhealthy things that can come from that. A breakup, an ugly breakup, workplace issues that can come from that. So I don't think the Celtics were okay with this, but I think they understand that these things happen. But obviously, considering the report and the suspension, it was something beyond just dating that Coach Udoka must have done to warrant this.
So, you touched on a lot there, Regary, and, I don't want to hammer this because we do have other things to talk about with this team, especially like what they're going to look like after in the aftermath of this as mm-hmm. well. But a couple of quick things on this, as we talked about the potential relationships Udoka could have had in this aspect in terms of the influence, because I think what you said was very important. It didn't necessarily even have to be a direct, even subordinate. It could have even been the perception of the power that he has because he's the frigging head coach. So if he's, he doesn't sign someone's paycheck, so to speak, if you will, but the influence of having that individual, quote unquote, on your side and saying, hey, I could do this for you. And, I won't overshare some things in my personal life that I've seen, but I have seen politicians, if you will, act with no sense of real integrity, trying to influence other employees within like an organization saying, hey, I can do this for you if you do X, Y, or Z. Quid mm-hmm. pro quo, I think, is what it was called in my sexual harassment training. So, we don't know what the situation is per se, but I think it's really interesting how you were ascertaining and dissecting all the people that any coach and any organization can kind of come into contact with. Yeah. And maybe influence the situation that was maybe less than. So again, maybe not as consensual as we originally hoped. My next question, not hope, sorry. Let me strike that from the record at all. Yeah, I mean, just as originally reported.
Yeah.
Gary, why do you think the team doesn't know? Like, why is this being kept away from the players themselves? Is it afraid because they will then leak the business, if you will, to the rest of the media per se? Or do you feel in any sense that the players have a right to know? Do they feel like they have a right to know?
Well, I do think, Warren, that it's a layers to this. One is the privacy laws. Okay, the Celtics are afraid to get sued here because, we have two recent examples. One, very recent, in the Phoenix Suns with Robert Sarver. And Sarver, saying inappropriate things to women, sexist things to women. Okay. Then we have a couple of years ago what happened with the Dallas Mavericks, where the team president was a philanderer. He was saying inappropriate things to team employees. He was kind of threatening employees in terms of, you might want to get to know me. I'm the man around here. Things like that. Things that are completely toxic, unhealthy relationship. They fired some people. People resigned. The Mavericks cleaned house. Mark Cuban was embarrassed. They hired Cynthia Marshall, kind of a woman to come in there and just clean house because it had become a toxic work environment. The Celtics do not want that fate. They don't want the league to get involved, and they don't want the perception that their environment is toxic. It's unhealthy for women. It's dangerous for women. It's threatening for women. It's harassing for women. Okay. So they don't want any of this information to get out. A key component here also is that there's been publicly said by owner Whit Grusbeck, no penalty for the woman. And people are like, oh, what the hell? She broke the rule too. Maybe she did. Maybe she didn't. Is it tasteful for her to date a coworker in this situation? No, but if she said, hey, I was threatened. Hey, I was, my job was on the line. Hey, I felt like she has a legitimate case. The Celtics want to avoid court. Okay. They do not want to divulge information. Going back to the players. If they tell the players, don't tell anybody, but this is what happened. Do you think that's going to hold? Do you think that these players are not going to tell their families? Maybe their agent leaks it to a reporter, and suddenly what exactly happened, got out. Now, if you want to trust 18 players or you want to bring in only the guys that were here last year or whatever, okay, you only want to, you know, you don't want to bring the new guys in. You want to have your or your core players. You want to bring in, you know, Jason and Jalen, Marcus Smart, Horford. Like, you want to bring in 7 or 8 guys, and you want to say, listen, guys, this is what happened. This is what he did. Now, you have to trust, but this is confidential. That's a tough one. It's hard enough to get one person not to spill their guts or spill the beans. What about 8 or 9? Okay, guys who have families, who have wives, who have mothers. I mean, let's be honest, Warren. I mean, you know, you're not in Boston, but I'm sure if people know you're affiliated with the Celtics, you do the people asking you what's going on. Regular people, because it's a regular people story, because yeah. Nia Long's a Hollywood star, right? And people have known that they've been linked for years. So this has become TMZ, Entertainment Tonight, you know, Inside Edition, this has become gossip. So regular people off the street, friends of mine, my wife, all, what happened? What's going on? This is more than just a basketball story. So I think the Celtics are like, listen, we can't divulge. One, it's private. 2, we can't expect our players not to say anything if they know. So it's delicate. Could they give them more information? Like, hey, listen, this is, we don't want to give you all the, you know, specifics.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, Warren, the difference between this and Robert Sarver is, and I don't know if you read the Sarver report, but it's like 40 pages. And there were specific instances, things said. It was like, what happened on February 12th, 2017? It was nuggets of information and instances and incidents that you could chew on. So the sports fan read that and go, oh man, examples, receipts, right?
Yep.
Here, what are the receipts? Like, there is no, on the night of February 12th, 2022, Udoka, and the woman, like, there is nothing like that, right? So people are wondering. And so the players are like, well, you're suspending them for a relationship. So they have to trust the team. And maybe.
Do they, though?
I think they have to. I don't know if they do.
Gotcha.
But they have to trust the team and then have to go, well, and then I'm sure Brad Stevens might be, listen, guys, like, we wouldn't have done this unless we had to. This is a guy who led the team to the championship, the NBA Finals, his first year. Great success. It worked. They went 31-10 to end the season to get the number 2 seed. They beat Milwaukee. They beat Miami. They swept Brooklyn. They were, what, a good fourth quarter, a full fourth quarter in game 4 from taking a 3-1 lead in command of the finals and maybe winning the championship. Yeah. Like, they were this close. I mean, a good 5 minutes left, they were up 6. They lost. They blew it. And then they kind of fell apart in game 5. And, you know, in Golden State, where they, you know, they had a terrible fourth quarter and they gave up the lead and then it kind of fell apart. But they were this close, right? So they don't want to do this. The Celtics do not want to suspend a coach for a year. But considering the environment, considering what he did, considering all of the facts, I felt like they feel like they had to. So the players have to trust, pivot, and move on. They have a new coach. All of Ime's staff stayed. Nobody walked away. That's another telling thing, Warren. It was Ime brought a lot of his friends there. All of them stayed, you know. And as much as, hey, man, you my boy, but you messed up, man. That ain't me. I ain't walking away from a check. I'm not walking away from a chance to coach championship team. I'm not walking away from my job. I'll keep in touch with you. We'll talk, and I'll pat you on the shoulder and give you some encouragement to get things together. But, man, that's on you. Like, so I felt like, just from observation, if, like, 2 assistants left, too, and felt he got wronged, so far his entire staff that he brought in, which are 3 guys, because Will Hardy went to Utah, Aaron Miles, Ben Sullivan, and Damon Stoudemire all stayed. Yep. So I think that says something.
I think it does as well too, Gary. So, you know, obviously more to come here with Udoka. I shouldn't say Coach Udoka anymore, Udoka, you know, and where the Celtics land with that too. So media day happened, and like, we don't have to pull punches here. They knew they're going to get asked. Jalen's know he's going to get asked about the potential trade to Brooklyn and all that, you know, and everyone is trying to read into body language and stuff like that. And I, you know, I think I'm just trying to be realistic about it. Like, do you want them to be like, it's still fresh. You can't expect them to just be like, oh, hoppy and chipper. And as you alluded to, especially coming from a team that really was minutes away from potentially winning this NBA championship, you know, there's a different aura around the team in general. So Joe has been named the head coach for now, and we'll see how things work out. What's your impression of this first week practices, the mood, if you will, of the roster since media day and having to kind of get that out the way? We know most players don't really give a crap about that. Maybe rookies, they're excited about it. But once you're a veteran player like Jalen and Jason are, especially going to the finals, like, this is just something you have to do. Now that it's out of the way, what's the sense that you've gotten from this team over this first week as they head into the preseason here?
Well, Warren, I think it's been positive, as positive as it can be. I think the first day, not want to say tough, but they were, you know, like, the good thing is that the team didn't, like, mute the players, okay? They didn't say the players weren't like, well, we're only talking basketball here. It was just like the Brooklyn media day where it's like, okay, KD and Kyrie, you got to talk about vaccination. And KD, you got to talk about this damn trade demand where you want your coaches fired. Take it on. Like, I think that's good PR. Like, you don't want – you want people – you want them to address it. You don't want them to address it every day. But, hey, you got to take the bullet for a day, get it out of the way. And I think that's kind of how it went on Monday. I don't think reporters are going to constantly ask, well, what about Ime? Like, have you talked to him today? Like, I don't – that's going to subside because, as you know, Warren, the news cycle is changing. Now we're talking about Tua Tagovailoa, right? That's the dominant – like, Ime Udoka is not becoming yesterday's news, but it's a couple days ago. Now we're talking about the Miami Dolphins' treatment of their quarterback. We're talking about – we're still talking about Brett Favre. There's so many topics, and the news cycle is going to churn. And guys are going to learn to move on. So I think they're moving on. New voice in Joe Mazzulla, but a guy they know and respect. The rest of the coaching staff is there. I think everybody's kind of like, you know, let's all support each other. I think there's a, you know, I mean, I saw the team chaplain was at practice the other day. And I don't, you know, I don't see him there often, but I just think that's important. Like, hey, you know, and I, you know, I didn't get a really chance. I did talk to him, say hello, Reverend Gray. But, you know, he's there for a reason.
We're at the point we need prayer, Gary.
Yeah. Like, you know, he could be, you know, he could be someone that they could talk to and say, hey, Reverend Gray, like, what do we do when you know, he can pull out a scripture in the Bible. They're going to have chapel in their Sunday game before Sunday's preseason opener. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to need reinforcements. You're going to need these guys to talk. You're going to need these guys to get some stuff out, right? So I thought that it's been a healthy environment. Allison Feaster's been there. You know, she's bounced back after having a terrible day, and her picture thrown out there is, oh, that's her. That's the one. It wasn't her. Like, she's been through hell over the last few days, right? Or week or so. So I think personally it's been a positive environment. They've pivoted, they've moved on. They are saying, you know, the right things, and they're going forward with their franchise. I mean, they've got to. I mean, as you know, Warren, like, the other 29 teams aren't feeling sorry for them.
Not at all.
The NBA is not going to go, okay, Boston, take a two-week timeout to get your thoughts together, and then you can start. No, the preseason starts Sunday. There's teams laughing at the Celtics at this point, like, oh, look at you. And you don't think the Phoenix Suns, after what they went through last week, are happy that this happened in Boston? Like, you know what I'm saying? No one on Monday talked about – remember, the big thing was going to be Brooklyn's media day. Nobody talked about that on Monday. No one cared. Like, we was like, oh, that's right. KD's talking, you know, for the first time since the whole thing of the trade demand. And Kyrie's going to say something, of course, unusual and crazy. Like, no one cared because this is happening. So at this point, the Celtics realize they have to pivot and move on. No one's feeling sorry for them. And I think it's been a positive, healthy environment so far from what I've seen, that the guys are kind of like, hey, you know, it is what it is. he did like, and I think people took, Warren took Marcus's Smart's comment of he didn't die kind of wrong, that he didn't die. Like, he's okay. He's getting partially part of his salary. He got to get himself together. He can come back. Like, I think they're looking at it like, hey, this is what – I didn't expect this. Nobody – you know, we've all been in professional sports for years. No one's seen anything like this before. But it, like anything else, you pivot and you got to keep it moving. And these guys have to do that because no one is feeling sorry for them.
I have to ask you this one before we move on here. There's some speculation coming around from other circles and, you know, the NBA Twitterverse, if you will. We know Twitter's not a real place, but, you know, stuff generates out there. This franchise has had its fair share of trials and tribulations and drama from various lenses, one way or the other. Do you get a sense, you know, as somebody who's there, sees these guys on a regular basis, that at the top, Jason and Jalen specifically, are they tired? Are they, I mean, most players at this, like, they just want to hoop. Are they tired of the extra stuff? And is this just kind of one more thing that they've had to deal with? Or do you see them just kind of galvanizing and, you know, ready to try to climb the mountaintop yet again? But people are concerned that this is starting to maybe wear on them specifically with this franchise.
Yeah, I don't think there's been like a whole bunch of drama before this. Like, there was the coaching change when Brad Stevens stepped down, you know, COVID, but everybody went through that. I don't think this is one of those like where it's just, chaotic franchise, team chaos. Like, I don't think it's like that, where you look at some of the, you know, like Dallas Cowboys or something like that, where it's like, man, it's always something happening in Dallas. So there's always something going down, or the Portland Jailblazers 20 years ago, where there was just all kinds of drama. Like, I don't think it's that strong, but I do think that these guys realize they have to mature and be grown adults, and they have to be better leaders. Not that they weren't good leaders, but when you have a 34-year-old coach who's never played in the NBA, never coached the NBA, leading you, trying to get back to championship, like, you got to be grown about it. So Jalen can't lament being thrown into the KD trade talks. Jason can't lament, I had a terrible finals because Andrew Wiggins locked me down and I wasn't completely healthy. Like, they got to move on and be better leaders and bigger leaders and more vocal. And I've been told, you know, talk to people and players who said Jason's becoming more vocal. And Jalen's always been vocal and always been kind of a leader in his own right. They just got to move on. I don't know if they're tired of like, man, I got to get up out of here. Because look at all the drama in Brooklyn, right? I mean, hey, I can go to Brooklyn. You want to drama? I go to Brooklyn. You know, the number one player wants a coach and GM fired. One of the players don't want to play because he took a 2-week break after the January 6th and then decided he wanted to get vaccinated. James Harden wants in and wants out. Like, that's team drama, right? I think the Celtics feel like this is – the players feel like this is a stable franchise. This is just an unusual case that's going to take a while to shake because, to be honest, like, you need closure, right? And if you don't know all the reasons, it's hard to develop closure. It's hard to have someone come in and say, hey, you know, these guys are 20-somethings, right? So the 40-somethings, they look up to as father figures or big brother figures, right? Because they're 24, 25, 26. Someone 45 is, you old enough to be my daddy, right? So here comes someone who is close to their father's age or a little bit, tad bit younger than their father, whatever, okay? And he comes in, instills discipline, tells them how to be grown, tells them how to handle criticism, tells them you got to be mature, professional, all these things that they needed to hear, and then does this and then goes away. So you're telling these young men, just get over it. Like, they're not, because this is what this is the unfortunate part of it. Like, you're taking someone away from them, you know, like, they can maybe call them. You think they're going to call him for advice now? Like, you know, he got him get himself together. So I think to have them, you know, it's not realistic to expect them to come back and pivot so fast. But I do think, Warren, they're making a smooth, good adjustment. And I do think Jason and Jalen feel like, okay, let's just try to get back to normal. Let's just practice. Let's just hang out. Let's just talk. You know, let's just get back to the routine so we don't have to talk about this.
We're chatting here with Gary Washburn here on Believe in Celtics. He's the co-host with me here, Warren Shaw, Shaw Sports NBA. Make sure you're following him at G Washburn Globe. A couple more things before we wrap up our first episode here together, Gary. And this has been extremely insightful for me and hopefully for our fans and listeners as well, too. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot, you know, just by virtue of your level of insight and, you know, gravitas with this organization. What can you tell people who might be quote unquote casuals about Joe Mazzulla? Like, you know, what is something that, you know, that you may know or maybe even seen this week with him now being at the head of the charge?
Well, he seems to be very self-confident, a real student of the game, someone who's wanted this, someone who I think is prepared, even though, you know, you like, or a lot of players said they like their coach to be a former NBA player or someone who's been through the wars. I think Mazzulla has been through his own wars, you know. He's a Division II coach, played at West Virginia. And going back to the West Virginia days and the two things, the domestic assault and the underage drinking, I think from what I know that he's done a 180 since then. You know, he's a man who's found Christ. He's a faithful man in terms of not, you know, like faithful in his faith, you know, right? He's someone who is just kind of grounded, who just you know, you get around people and you're like, man, I don't want to curse in front of them. Like they say all the right things. They're faith. They're men of faith. And when you get around, you know, I mean, you might talk mess with your friends and say some words you shouldn't say, you wouldn't say in front of your mom, but you get around certain guys and you're like, okay, let's not talk that way. You know, that person deserves more, you know. And I think Joe is one of those guys that you just say to yourself, like, that's a really like solid dude in terms of how he lives his life. And I said, you know, we all make mistakes in college, and I'm not excusing getting in trouble with the law. Many of us didn't get in trouble with the law. We might have hung out a little too much, not got the best grades, you know, did things in college that college people do. But, you know, he didn't excuse it. So from what I see, he has been like exactly what they wanted at this point. Step right in, be professional. You know, hey, whatever happened with eBay, God bless him. Let him figure his some things out. I'm going to focus on this team. I'm going to focus on the guys in front of me who are depending on me, and that's my job. Whatever happened to him, and as much as that's terribly unfortunate and he made a mistake, what can I do? I'm not going to, you know, I need to be better because I need to lead. I'm the leader of men. So from what I've seen after a week, it's been a real positive influence. Now, let's see what happens with X's and O's. Let's see what happens. And, you know, he's coaching against Eric Spoelstra, and Doc Rivers, and Greg Popovich, and all, you know, Steve Kerr. Let's see what happens. Hopefully for the Celtic fans, he doesn't get outmatched. Hopefully he can keep up. And he's a good young X's and O's coach, but for what he's been asked, it's been good. It's been positive.
Excellent, excellent news there. So, on the last Believe in Celtics show, I actually was graced by the presence of Sam Hauser. He came on, kind of talked about, you know, his role and, you know, what was going to happen, kind of in wake of Danilo going down now, presumably for the remainder of the year, as we recorded here today. Blake Griffin was also rumored to be signed, and that looks like that's coming in on the heels of Robert Williams news as well, too. Now out 8-12 instead of 4-6 or whatever it was originally prognosed. The Blake thing is interesting because if you've been following the Celtics, there's been Blake and DeMarcus Cousins are two guys that have kind of been in their aura for years, one way or another, when they were at kind of the height of their superpowers and even as they've kind of regressed somewhat here on the tail end. So for the team to finally get Blake anyway, I think is really interesting. Is this move for Blake primarily because Robert is out? But Celtics were looking for a third big anyway. Yeah. Is that, do you think they would have signed Blake regardless, or was there more a little sense of an urgency there? And what role do you think Sam will get to play, you know, as kind of as a four-ish, if you will, you know, on this team moving forward?
Well, I think Blake will play kind of the power forward, maybe a smaller center. You know, it's hard, you know, Warren, it's hard. The NBA is hard, man, in terms of like what we saw from him jumping over Kia's and, you know, the first 8 or 9 years of Blake's career where he was just this mammoth monster athlete, freakish athlete, jumping over people, dunking on people, taking lobs from Chris Paul. And now he's lost his legs aren't, he's still in good shape, but the legs aren't there anymore. And now he's become kind of a scrappy 3-point shooting at times, rebounding. He's doing what he can. And I think Blake might be 33, 30. It's not like he's 39 or
that's crazy.
I mean, it's just not everybody's LeBron or Kobe. I think the blessing of those guys like their bodies held up and they played till, especially Kobe, till the wheels, like Kobe walked away when he was ready at 20 years. Like that age 30 for some of our favorite NBA players is just not a flattering age. So you look at Tracy McGrady or Steve Francis or some of these guys, who at 30 just kind of jumped up, fell off a cliff. And so I think Blake feels a role of just scrappy, rebound, score at the rim, knows how to play, good locker room presence, never won a championship. So trying to win a championship. Remember, though, Warren, a couple years ago in Detroit, he was an all-star. I mean, they gave him the ball, and he went to work, and I think it was 26 points a game, like 4 or 5 years ago in Detroit when they just kind of said, oh, hey, you're our box office, and he carried the team, right? So I think he's got some game left. I'm not talking about nights of average 20 points a game or anything, but he's going to have his occasional games where it's like you see it, and I think he can still get up a little bit. Not like he can, but he can get a little dunk. He can still dunk. Remember, he didn't dunk, and I think before he got to Brooklyn,
like 2 years.
Then all of a sudden in Brooklyn, he was dunking. Yeah. And he was like, I can still dunk. That's insulting or whatever. But I think he brings a good personality, a good locker room leader. This team needs more than one like old head, and it was Al Horford, right? They needed somebody who can stabilize that. Some of the young guys can look up to and be like, man, I played you in NBA 2K. Like, they need that guy who can – because I think if you look at the Warriors, I think they should learn a lot from the Warriors. And even in the situation with Sam Hauser, Warren, where Sam is a shooter, the Celtics felt like they made a big mistake letting Max Strus walk away a couple of years ago. He went to Chicago, didn't work out. Then he went to Miami and became a starter. So the Celtics look at him and go – man, we had that dude in our organization, and we just, let him walk. So they see another shooter, a guy who can hit the ball, hit the three ball. They haven't really had that guy since Eddie House. They look at Hauser. And so I think if he can knock down the shot, play decent defense, he don't have to be a stopper. He can have a role in this team because he can shoot. They need someone to stretch the floor. But I think if you're looking at the Celtics, and they should take a page from the Warriors. The Warriors filled their roster with a bunch of talent. And if you remember the finals, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga did not play. Like, Juan Toscano-Anderson did not play. Like, they had guys who could start for other teams maybe or at least come off the bench, not play in the finals because they had their rotation. But they had a loaded team. And then they had Andre Iguodala, who now come back for one last year, who was kind of like the old head. Hey, I got a little bit of game left. I can give you something here and there. That's sometimes what you need. Miami didn't sign Udonis Haslem and perform in the court. They signed him for his leadership. They signed him to be that voice. And the Celtics, because Al Horford more leads by example, and he can be a more vocal leader as he approaches 37, but he's more a leader by example. You don't want a guy to be outside of his box.
Yeah.
Blake can stabilize things. He can joke with Jason and Jalen. He can talk about, oh, man, I saw you guys here. I remember you guys are rookies. And they can say, oh, man, we remember you was Oklahoma. You can have those – he can come into the locker room and be embraced and have a role. And I think that's important. And with Sam Hauser, it all depends on him putting the ball through the hoop because you're not out – he's not out there for his defense, right? He's out there to knock down threes. He had one kind of shining game, that game at Toronto last year toward the end of the season where everybody took the night off and they left half the roster at home. Some guys because they weren't vaccinated, other guys who were hurt. And that won't be a factor this year because I think the vaccine mandate in Toronto is going to be dropped. So good for the guys who aren't – that might not be an issue this year. But Sam came off the bench and gave them really good minutes. And, you know, he's a good shooter, but I think the Celtics learned from what happened to Max Strus. We're going to give him some time, and that's good. He's taken advantage of that, capitalized on that, and now he's going to have a role this year.
I love it. I love it. Gary, we're going to wrap up here, but the last one before we let you, we will kind of close up, is the with the addition of Blake and obviously the internal development that the team hopes from kind of like down the roster, are they still looking for anything else that you think? Any rumors that you've heard out there? Obviously, the Carmelo stuff has been swirling around for a little couple of weeks now as well. You know, are there other veterans or wings that they may need to look to potentially add to this roster? Anything that you've heard and can share with us here, I believe, in Celtics?
Well, Warren, I think it all depends on what happens over the next week or two with some of the guys they brought in. You know, Mufondo, Yabusele, Cabangeli.
You're thinking about Gershon back in the day, right?
Yeah, I gotta get my regular season roster. I gotta memorize this stuff. You know, Noah Vonleh.
I forgot about Noah.
Yeah, you know, like the young guy, the first round pick, Luka Samanik, a couple years ago for San Antonio Spurs. Like how those guys work out, Jake Lehman. I think they want to look at those guys. And if they're like, you know, maybe there might be a space for Carmelo or a space for another third or another legit big, because obviously Blake's a kind of a big, but he's not, you know, he's not a 7-footer, you right. know. So there's Dwight Howard out there, there's DeMarcus Cousins or whatever. So to me, if the guys that they brought in, they're just like, I think that there'll be a space, but for now, I think they'll see how this thing with Blake goes. Obviously, now they got to wait for Robert Williams to come back and see what they have from Luke Kornet, too. That's going to be an interesting. They're going to try to give him an increased role. I'm not so sure about that, but then again, who knows? Maybe he's talented enough for more minutes, and we just haven't seen it. But to expect him to be this like backup center, or maybe even start, is I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. You know, but they're going to have to do something until, because I don't see Robert Williams coming back till like the first of the year.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great, I think, first episode between you and I here on Believe in Celtics. Really excited to be working here with you on this. And obviously we could talk forever. There's so much insight, so many nuggets, you know, kind of going deep cuts and layers in this team. But we got to save some for the regular season, see what happens in the preseason as well, too. So
the appetite of the listener, though, there'll be plenty more to come.
Plenty more to come. And, you know, with your connections, maybe we get a player or two on or coach somebody from the front office here and there. But that'll be down the line. Everybody, this has been Believe in Celtics with me, Warren Shaw. He is the man, Gary Washburn. As always, again, make sure you're following him at G Washburn Globe. Follow me at Shaw Sports NBA. And this was our premiere episode for the regular season, if you will, here on Believe in Celtics. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week. And make sure you stay tuned and Believe in Celtics. Thanks so much.